Hello, everyone. Today's passage comes from Philippians chapter 3. Again, that's Philippians chapter 3. They'll read that for us. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship by the Spirit of God, and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Amen. In this chapter of this letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul describes a very important truth about our Christian walk. In the first 11 verses, he reminds the Philippians that nothing is more important than knowing Christ and to develop a relationship with him. Paul lists all of the great things he's achieved in his life. Starting in verse 5, he says, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. If anyone were to brag about his works, it was Paul. But he says that all of these things are worthless. He counts it as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, relationship with him. And because of this, it's not his accomplishments that gives him righteousness, but faith in Christ. This relationship-based faith in Jesus is what gives us salvation and not our own works. So with that said, I want to focus today's devotional on this next section, verses 12 to 16. If you look in your Bibles, the heading of this section, at least in the ESV translation, is actually titled straining toward the goal, straining toward the goal. And I think that can seem kind of contradictory from what Paul said right before, that we are not saved by works, but by a relational faith in Christ. So why do we have to strain toward anything if Jesus already paid the price for us? Aren't those kind of opposing ideas? And the answer is no. They don't oppose each other. They actually go hand in hand. Paul acknowledges that he's far from perfect. It's an undeniable fact that Paul, along with the entirety of man, including you and me, is not and will not attain perfection in this life. However, in verse 14, Paul says he still presses on toward the goal. Even with the knowledge that we can't achieve righteousness, Paul still presses on. And he presses on because he wants the prize. And the prize being of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is the call. This call to run this race and serve God. The prize isn't the cool things we get out of our efforts, but it's the honor and privilege itself to serve the one we love. When we receive the love of God and love Him in return, the natural outcome is to desire to live well for Him and serve Him. It's not this restrictive obligation to do the things He commands us to do, but it is an expression of our love for Him that causes us to press on and live out His will. If you truly love somebody, you don't grudgingly force yourself to serve them. You desire to. Your goal isn't to receive the compliments or rewards they might give you, but it's simply to please the person you love, to see them smile, and to move their heart. John Piper says this: grace is not simply leniency when we have sinned. Grace is the enabling gift and power of God not to sin. Grace is power, not just pardon. Let me repeat that again. Grace is power, not just pardon. When we've received this amazing grace of God that the Apostle Paul outlines for us in the first half of today's passage, this grace is not merely a pardon for our sins, but it is an enabling power for us to press on, as Paul says, to live according to God's will as an expression of our love for Him. Maybe for some of us today, we feel kind of stuck in our faith. And perhaps it's because we're stuck kind of in this first part of the grace of God, the pardon part. Yes, God does pardon our sins. There's nothing more we can do to earn God's love because Jesus has fully and completely paid for our sins. There's no question about that. But maybe God is calling us to then take this next step in God's grace, to allow the grace of God to become power, to shift our lives according to His purpose, to press on in living in service to Him as an expression of gratitude. So I want to encourage us today, let's pray for that desire. Let's ask God, God, give me the desire to press on toward the goal to live for You and for You alone. God loves very deeply each one of us, unfathomably. So in response to His love, let's give ourselves wholly to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. Your grace is so plentiful and so unimaginably deep. We pray that we would love You in return, that we might press on toward the goal of living according to Your will. Lord, not as an obligation or a restrictive thing, but as an expression of our gratitude for you. Lord, you are a loving, loving God. So may we live wholly dedicated to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.